الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers, inshallah, in this episode of ours, we will be discussing the manner, the way our highest predecessors, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, those great Muslims who came before us, would celebrate the day of Eid. And today, we have a particular understanding of how to celebrate Eid. And our concept is pretty much the same. We rejoice and we should be happy. And yes, Islam does promote this. But is there a different way to also celebrate Eid? On the day of Eid, is there room for reflection? Pondering, then inshallah we'll hear about the pious predecessors and what their view was on this. Before that, let us hear an excellence of reciting Salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Inna Allah wakkala malakan ala qabri. Indeed, Allah has appointed an angel at my grave. And the job of that angel is to convey the Salat of those people who recited Salat upon me. So what does that angel do? It conveys the Salat of the Salat reciter to me. And not only does it mention his name, that so-and-so recited Salat upon you, it mentions the father's name as well, that so-and-so, son of so-and-so, has recited Salat upon you. Allahu Akbar. Now here the ulama discuss, and they mention a beautiful point. They say that the angels, alayhimus salam, although they have a great rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are ma'asoom, they are infallible, they only do what Allah jalla wa ala says, they do not disobey him. Nevertheless, they cannot reach the rank of a prophet. The prophets, alayhimus salam, are greater in rank. And in Al-Ibriz, the book of Sayyidi Abdul Aziz Dabbagh, rahmatullahi alayhi, he even writes that إِنَّمَا خُلِقَ جِبْرِيلُ لِخِدْمَةِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. That the takhliq of Jibreel alayhi salam, the creation of Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam is the greatest of all the angels. He is the leader of all the angels. There are four main leading angels, Rasul e Malaika, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, Sayyidina Mikael alayhi salam, Sayyidina Israfil alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam. From all of these four, Jibreel alayhi salam is the highest ranking. In Al-Ibriz, Sayyidi Abdul Aziz Dabbagh rahmatullahi alayhi says, even Jibreel, despite his lofty rank among the angels, was created to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they mention thereafter, using this point, they say, look at this hadith carefully. The angel who is stationed at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not Jibreel alayhi salam. Nevertheless, this angel has been granted such strong hearing ability. His faculty of hearing is so great that simultaneously, when people are reciting Salat across the globe, in different continents, in different countries of the world, thousands of miles apart from each other, whatever they are reciting, simultaneously this angel hears that recitation of Salat upon the Prophet ﷺ. And not only does he know the name of the reciter, he knows the father's name as well. So one, we learn the hearing faculty of this angel is so great. Secondly, the knowledge of this angel, the ilm granted to that angel by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so great, is so vast that at one given time he is able to ascertain the names of all of those reciters. He knows the names of all of them and he knows their father's name as well. So here, a beautiful point mentioned by the ulama is, consider, this angel is not Jibreel alayhi salam. He's still a high-ranking angel, but not the highest ranking. He's been given the faculty to hear all those who recite Salat simultaneously. He knows their names, he knows their father's name. Now, when you consider this, and you know that he who is stationed at the grave, this angel, is also a khadim of the Prophet ﷺ. He's a servant of the Prophet ﷺ. And he's been granted this much knowledge and power of hearing. then what would you say about the power of hearing bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What would you say regarding the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The power of hearing, the knowledge, is far greater than this angel alayhi salam who is stationed at the grave. We learn about the excellence of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through this verse. And inshallah, in times of difficulty, when we call out to our Prophet alayhi salam and we use him as a wasila, inshallah, the Prophet alayhi salam will help us through the power that Allah jalla wa ala has bestowed upon him. May Allah jalla wa ala give us tawfiq to recite our names on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to have our own names presented in the court of Rasulullah alayhi salam, and to have our father's name as well. This is truly a great honor. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now we will hear about Eid and the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala. No doubt, Eid is a day of celebration. The Quran we told, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Let's say, O beloved, upon the grace of Allah and His mercy, they should rejoice. فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. And the day of Eid is also a mercy of Allah. It's the grace of Allah. It's the feast of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fasted in the month of Ramadan. Now, what are we doing? We are celebrating Eid because it is the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. So this is a day of celebration. We're told to rejoice, to show happiness. Yes, all of that. As I mentioned earlier, that we have a particular way of celebrating. We have a budget in mind that I'm going to spend this much money on Eid. Every Eid we have to wear new clothes. Otherwise, we'll be embarrassed. Oh, I wore this last Eid. I can't wear it this Eid as well. So we have a particular way of celebrating. We have a particular stand and we follow a particular course of action. We have our way of celebrating Eid, no doubt. And if it's in line with Sharia, that's fine, alhamdulillah. If it goes against Sharia, then it's condemnable, it's reprehensible. And a person will be deserving of punishment, torment, if he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Eid. But then, when we look at the pious predecessors, right from the age of the Sahaba, we look at the awliya, the tabi'in, the tabi'in, they had a different way of looking at Eid. After a long month of fasting, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yesterday of Eid has arrived, and rejoicing is the hukam, is the command. But does that mean we neglect the last 30 odd days? We totally put them to the back of our memory. What do we do in this regard? Or should we reflect upon the previous month? Was it accepted or not? Did I fulfill the rites of the month? Did I fast in such a way that Allah is pleased with me? What is the situation? But what happens, most of us, we forget that. And we think, we're guaranteed acceptance of our fast. We fasted in such a way that no doubt, there's no doubt in our fast being accepted. Nobody has that surety. Nobody has that guarantee. This is why when we look at the life of the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, yes, they would rejoice on Eid. Yes, they would show happiness. But they would not forget the previous month. They would not forget the ibadah in the month of Ramadan, the fasting, the taraweeh, and the recitation of the Quran, and their mindset and their thinking was it accepted or not? This was foremost upon their mind on the day of Eid as well. And what happens to us? First few days of Ramadan, we're eager, we're desirous, and then there's a lull. Then we start shopping for Eid. And by the last ashra, when our ibadah should be at its peak, searching for Laylatul Qadr and doing as many good deeds as possible because the month is going to depart, it's as if everybody's on Eid mode. That I need to order my stuff and I need to make sure this is right. I need to arrange for this. And yes, planning is good. But what I'm trying to say is, what's the cost of that? What's the cost of our way of celebrating? Does it bring shortcoming in our a'mal? And on many occasions, yes. That instead of living in the now, that I've still got 10 days of Ramadan, 5 days of Ramadan, I need to make the most of these days. I don't know whether I'll be alive to see the next Ramadan. Our mind is completely on the day of Eid. It's as if we've left the month of Ramadan, whereas in fact we're still in the month of Ramadan. And in Arabic, there's a proverb regarding the day of Eid. All people who think that the day of Eid is all about wearing new clothes, know that it's not just about that. Eid is not for those who just wear new clothes. No, Eid is for the one who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, he says, لَيْسَ الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدِ. Eid isn't for the one wearing new clothes. إِنَّمَا الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ خَافَ الْوَعِيدِ. Instead, Eid is for the one who fears divine retribution, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being punished by Allah jalla wa'ala. Eid is for him because he's reflecting on the past month. How many good deeds did I do? Did I sin in Ramadan as well? Ma'azallah, what happened? And he's reflecting upon that. He's pondering upon that. He's concerned about that. And he is for him. He's showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving him tawfiq to perform worship in the month of Ramadan. He's begging Allah to accept the worship of the month of Ramadan. He's not neglectful. He's not heedless. It's not the case that as soon as the moon of Shawwal is witnessed, he's totally forgot about it, the month of Ramadan. No, he's still reflecting upon the month of Ramadan. That is why Eid is for him. Liman khaf al-wa'id, the one who feared divine retribution. Now let me give you some examples. I've mentioned how the awliya, the pious predecessors, the sahaba, they had a different outlook on the day of Eid. But I would like to also present evidences for that and examples of that. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the one who differentiated between truthhood and falsehood, haqq and batil, the second greatest companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The expansion of the ummah that took place in his era of khilafah, subhanallah. He was successful in making reach Islam to so many places of the world. Abu Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, what's narrated regarding him on the day of Eid? It's stated that on the day of Eid, some people came to the house of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And their purpose was to meet him, to greet him. And we should do so on the day of Eid. We should meet the ulama, the righteous, the salihin. But the door was closed and sound of crying was coming from inside the house. When the door opened, they asked surprisingly that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu an, today is Eid and everyone is delighted. Why are you crying? And listen to the statement of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He said, wiping away his tears, هَذَا يَوْمُ الْعِيدِ. Yes, this is the day of Eid. وَهَذَا يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ. But it's also the day of warning as well. He continues and he says, indeed, this is Eid for the one whose fasts have been accepted, the one whose salah has been accepted. But it is the day of Eid for the one whose salah and fasts have been rejected and thrown onto his face. And why am I crying? You're asking me why I'm crying? أَنَا لَا أَدْرِي أَمِنَ الْمَقْبُولِينَ أَمْ مِنَ الْمَطْرُودِينَ Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I, Umar, do not know whether I am amongst those whose fast and salah and worship has been accepted or amongst those whose salah and fast and worship has been rejected. Now this was great humbleness from the part of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, because his ibadah, his worship, he is that person regarding whom Sayyidina Rasulullah said that Shaitan takes another path when he sees Sayyidina Umar. And he runs away from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is that individual because of whom Islam gained dominance. The Prophet ﷺ prayed for Sayyidina Umar to enter Islam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that individual who had an opinion regarding a situation and many verses ahkamad of the Quran came down in accordance to his opinion as well. No ordinary person, but he is saying, I don't know whether I'm from the accepted people or the rejected people. Now, this is how he celebrated Eid. And today, like I said, we celebrate in such a way that it's as if we've got a guarantee or a certificate from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your Ramadan in this year has been accepted, 100%. We don't know that. When we don't know that, we should have raja and khawf. Bain al-raja'i wal-khawf, we should be between hope and fear. Yes, we should have hope. Husnul dhan, positive thinking regarding our Creator, that Ya Allah, you will accept my fast, accept my salah, my worship. But at the same time, we should have that fear as well. What if it is not the case that my worship has been accepted? My acts of ibadah have been accepted. So this was an example of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Let me give you an example of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the greatest saints of this ummah. One of the greatest personalities of this ummah, famously known as Al-Qawth Al-A'zam. Now Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioned in a few couplets of his Persian couplets, and I will mention the translation, that people are saying tomorrow is Eid, tomorrow is Eid, and everyone is happy. But the day when I leave this world with my faith intact will actually be the day of Eid for me. So again, the mindset, the thinking of our elders, of the Salihin, the righteous, is so unique and different to our thinking. That on the day of Eid, they're thinking about their death. They're thinking about the Akhirah. They're thinking about dying in a state of Iman. We should do so as well. We should ponder about our Akhirah. We should ponder about our final moments in this life. How will it be? And we should have Husnul Dhan. We should pray to Allah to give us Khatima upon Iman. Yes, there are certain people who go throughout life without even thinking about how the ending will be. And regarding them, the ulama said there's a chance that the iman will be seized from them, snatched from them, because they're so heedless. And our elders who actually were pious, who did righteous a'mal, when we look at their life, when we look at their outlook, subhanAllah. Also Al-Azim Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi saying that people are proclaiming tomorrow is Eid, tomorrow is Eid. The day of Eid for me, meaning Abdul Qadir, will be the day I leave the dunya with my iman intact. I leave the dunya with iman, in halatul iman. SubhanAllah, we should learn from that as well. On the day of Eid, we should pray to Allah that He accepts our fasts, our week ibadah, whatever we did in the month of Ramadan in terms of good deeds. And we should pray that, Ya Allah, may I pass away in a state of iman as well, so that all of this does not go to waste. Another account, and this is again in relation to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala on the day of Eid. He saw his own son in an old shirt. And when he saw his son in this state, he was full of grief, he became grief-stricken, he began to cry, and the son said, Father, why are you crying? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala replied, My son, I'm afraid your heart will break when the other boys see you in old clothes today on the occasion of Eid. And listen to the reply of the son of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Salihin produced Salihin as well. Listen to the reply of the son. His son replied, Dear father, the heart of the one who disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal and one's parents should break. I am hopeful that Allah Azza wa Jal will also be pleased with me because you are pleased with me. And he knew that the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the parents. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu listened to this, he radiallahu anhu embraced his son and prayed for him, supplicated for him. So today, what's the situation? If our children are not given what they desire on the day of Eid, imagine the rest of the day. They'll be sulking. They'll be throwing tantrums, raising their voices. Oh, so-and-so got this and so-and-so got this. But this is our fault as well. If we have only fed materialism and having objects and gaining gratification and satisfaction only from material things, then this is our fault. If we only encourage them that money, this is the only thing in life you need to do, earn. Or we've only taught them about, you know, having possessions, hoarding possessions, that's our fault. But obviously they're going to react like that. But here you have Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, whose son didn't react like that. His father said, I'm crying because when other boys see you and they've got new clothes, you've got old clothes, it's going to hurt your heart. And he replied and said, why should my heart break? The heart of the one who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobeys his parents, his heart should break. I'm happy. And I hope that Allah is pleased with me because you are pleased with me, O Father. Look at the mindset of the children as well. That was a pure environment. That was a pure time. We need to revive that. And we need to show that Eid is not only about, competing with others. In fact, that has nothing to do with Eid, competing with others. So that could lead to jealousy. It could lead to hatred. It could lead to enmity. And the priorities are completely wrong if that's how we celebrate Eid. We should celebrate Eid with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. So these were a few accounts of celebrating Eid and the way a Salaf celebrated Eid, how they spent the day of Eid. They spent the day of Eid pondering about the previous month of Ramadan as well. They spent the day of Eid pondering about their death. They spent the day of Eid thinking about the Akhirah. What about us? Do we try to convince ourselves and say, it's the day of Eid today, we don't need to do anything? Ma'adullah, to the extent that people won't even perform Salah. Just as it was fard to perform Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr in the month of Ramadan, it's fard to perform those five daily Salah on the day of Eid as well. And if one isn't doing so, out of this thinking that it's the day of Eid, it's mu'af, it's forgiven, astaghfirullah al-azim wa atubu ilayh. On the day of Eid, the day of rejoicing, the day of showing shukr, we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we going to gain the blessings of Eid? Inshallah ta'ala, keep these things in mind when you celebrate Eid and try to follow the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Al-barakatu ma'a kabirikum. The narration states that barakah lies in following your pious predecessors, your elders, those who came before you, who paved the way, those who know the deen better than us, and those who practice the deen in a better way than we are practicing it. And we owe a lot to them, we respect them, and inshallah we pray that Allah gives us tawfiq to follow them as well. Ameen, bijahin nabi al-ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Eid is here, Eid is here, Eid is here, Eid is here. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الحمد لله.